So the question is, how does one create, build, and protect and multiply your wealth in a global interconnected economy where change is happening rapidly and constantly, and financial markets are rigged to benefit financial institutions and enrich corporate insiders? I've made it my mission to uncover how you can create, protect, and multiply your wealth in any economy, and have interviewed the top investors and wealth experts for over 3 years. I share what I've learned from them and continue to learn on my journey. I'm MC Lobsher, and this is Cashflow Investing Secrets. MC Lobsher here, and thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Cashflow Investing Secrets podcast. This is the show where cash is not king. Cashflow is king. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. That's cashflowninja.com. And please subscribe to our newsletter at cashflowninja.com/subscribe. That's cashflowninja.com/subscribe. I personally write those emails, and in those emails that are delivered to you on a weekly basis, I include the most important things that you should know as a business owner and an investor, especially if you want to protect and build wealth in and during the Great Reset. In this episode, I'm going to talk about if financial lockdowns are coming or not. You know what's kind of interesting? When I had an idea to just share this, scenario that could potentially play itself out, I thought it might be slightly controversial. And then by the time that I get to record this, I look at the world and I'm like, no, this isn't actually controversial at all. This is essentially going to happen if I look at how things have unfolded. So at the time of recording right now, we are seeing economic collapse happening in many different countries around the world. We are seeing, in a country such as Sri Lanka, a full-blown economic collapse. Full-blown. They literally have lit on fire homes of politicians, cars of politicians. They stormed their parliament. The leader of their country had to flee on, a military boat. I mean, you can't... you can't make this stuff up. So things are really going sideways there. And then, of course, in Europe, we're seeing massive protests from the Dutch farmers in the Netherlands. We're seeing German farmers now joining them. We're seeing massive uprisings in Italy. We're seeing uprisings in Albania. There's also been a banking crisis in Lebanon with an economic collapse and hyperinflation. Similar things have been happening in Peru. And now news reports have it that there are bank runs essentially in China, where there's banks that have essentially shut out depositors out of their bank accounts. So this is what's happening as I'm recording this. I wrote down this idea of talking about a financial sort of lockdown. I wrote this down about a month ago. And like I said, I thought it would be slightly controversial when I published this. It's not at all. I think this is baked into the cake. So before all of these events have unfolded, I essentially wanted to start by talking about what the end goal is, essentially, or the stated goal for the Bank of International Settlements, which is the central bank of central banks. Central banks have talked about this. They put out white papers. And of course, there's been NGOs, non-governmental organizations, and think tanks, such as the World Economic Forum, that have essentially, they've all put this out there that they want central bank digital currencies. CBDCs is kind of the acronym. But everybody's already talked about this. They've put out white papers. It's been tested in China successfully. MIT has tested a similar program in the United States for a U.S. central bank digital currency. So this stuff has already been put out in the media. They have talked about it. They have tested it. It is ready to roll out, which is, I mean, it's just quite incredible how quickly things have moved over the past, 2.5 years since 2020. But central bank digital currency is essentially the end goal of where the folks, I would say, that are steering the ship globally, shaping the direction where we're headed in, This is the end goal that they want. I did an entire episode about central bank digital currencies, of how I explained the dangers of it, that is essentially full control, and would allow central banks and their governments full totalitarian control over their citizens. I spoke about it for quite a bit. If you haven't listened to that episode, I would highly recommend you check it out. Just go to cashflowninja.com, type in central bank digital currencies or CBDCs. You'll find that. But essentially, that's the end goal. That's where they want, essentially want this to end up. But to have us end up with a central bank digital currency, there's a process that you have to take people through, right? You can't just go to your citizens as a government or as a central bank right now and say, hey, everyone, we have decided that we are going to roll out this new form of money. It's a new monetary system that's going to be tied into a new global monetary system, and it's going to be based on central bank digital currencies. You're each going to have your own US dollar wallet, which is either held by a custodian, maybe like a bank, or you would hold it personally in your position, and we're just going to send you money directly, your universal basic income, directly from our central banks to your central bank digital currency wallet. People would freak out and no one would go for it. At this particular point in time, there's so much pushback because I think everybody's starting to see the agenda unfold globally, that there's so much pushback that they won't be able to be successful in having the population buy in on this. You would have to create a massive, massive crisis, generate a incredible response from citizens to have them eventually just beg for someone to help them. And then you step in and say, oh, by the way, this central bank digital currencies is going to solve the problem which we created, which led to this massive, massive crisis. And this is going to take care of this problem which we all find ourselves in. That's kind of how I see this play out. It's called the Hegelian dialect. It's problem, reaction, solution. It's been used over and over. And if you see what has been going on, especially since 2020, the Hegelian dialect is used over and over and over. Governments create a problem. They generate a massive reaction to that problem, and then they bring in solutions. We see it over and over and over. There's too many examples to cover. You could probably think of a couple right now. So anyway, with that being said, the end game is central bank digital currencies. The end game is that this will plug into this new global monetary system, which is this new world order, this great reset, this monetary reset. But how do you get there? So the idea that I wanted to share with folks, which I think you would find a value, is if that's the process that needs to take us there, it doesn't matter what the crisis is. We know that the crisis is probably going to be around banking, because that's essentially, you know, as my friend Francis Hunt from the Market Sniper, the Crypto Sniper, and the Reset Sniper says, and I've interviewed Francis Hunt on the Cashflow Ninja podcast several times. Go and listen to Francis Hunt's episodes at cashflowninja.com. He talks about that banks will be the lizard's tail, which will be sacrificed. So a lot of banks are not going to exist in this new system because you're going to have digital wallets. Now, maybe there will be still some banks that'll be custodians, and those will probably be the banks that are very well connected, that are already offering custodial services for digital products. So maybe there'll be a custodian and they'll hold wallets for you. If you cannot hold it yourself, maybe that could happen. But essentially, most of the banks and how this will play out won't exist in this new proposed system. I've tried to figure out how banks would fit in, right, in this new proposed system, which they've openly talked about and discussed. You could do your own research on this. You could listen to all of your all of the things that are already available online for anyone with eyes and ears and the willingness just to do some research on it. So that's led me to think that, you know, of similar ways, if you want to eliminate a current system and bring in a new system, well, you're going to have to essentially bring in all the cattle into an abattoir before they're slaughtered. And we could think of examples of what they did in India when they wanted to get rid of cash, right? They told people that they have a certain amount of time to all hand their cash in, pay their taxes due on it, because it was a huge, of course, a black market that existed, or an informal economy, as folks refer to it, in India. But they allowed them to bring in all of their cash, make it all digital. And now that, you know, that was one step closer to the full digitalization of the financial system in India. So you would have to do the same thing where we are already pretty much on a digital system in the US. There's not a lot of cash. I forgot what the number is. I would have to look it up, but I'm sure you could find it. It's a very, very small amount of actual physical cash that's circulating in the US economy. And I'm sure it's the same for countries or other countries around the world. So for the biggest part, our financial system and our banking system and our money that which we use is digital in the already. So how do you then lure in all of the cows and the cattle into the abattoir before you lock the gates? Well, we are already pretty much in a digital system. Once everybody's in that system, well, that's when you can essentially lock it down. And then convert the existing system over to a new system. And you're going to have to do that through financial lockdowns. Now, think about it. This is very, this might sound very extreme to you, but think about what happened on the day of 9/11, 2001. I was in the United States at that time. The equity markets closed, banks, certain banks closed, and you couldn't cash out or, take out financial products in banks such as CDs. Gerald Salente, also a previous guest on the Cash Flow Ninja. Check out Gerald's stuff too at Trends Journal and trendsresearch.com. But Gerald Salente shared that he wanted to cash out a CD as soon as 9/11 happened, and they told him they couldn't do it. So essentially it was locked down. Your equities, your liquid investments were locked down, quote unquote. So it's not an extreme view that I have. If you look at what's happening around the world right now, let's just look at China, where they're having bank runs. Depositors have their funds frozen right now. That's a lockdown. They've essentially financially locked it down because you cannot access your financial instruments. In that case, money. You cannot access it. So it's quote unquote locked down. In Lebanon, where that bank runs to, there were videos circulating the internet, people standing outside with a brick throwing it at a bank. It's not going to do much for you at that stage because it's locked down. It's digital. It has been, it has been lured into the abattoir, and now the cattle and the cows are going to be slaughtered. And this one system is going to be converted into a new system. So, when I say financial lockdown, I don't think it's a far-fetched idea at all, by the way. I think this could easily happen. I think it will happen because it has to happen, essentially, if they're going to be successful to take the world into this new monetary system, which is based on central bank digital currencies and which is plugged into a global financial and monetary system, based on all of the central bank digital currencies around the world. They're going to have to essentially lock down the current system, which is digital already for the most part, and then convert it over to the new system. So my question to you, here's a thinking exercise. How prepared are you for a financial lockdown? I did an episode on counterparty risk. Very important right now. Not just what your capital is invested in, but who it's invested with. Who has it? Who's the custodian? That's the counterparty risk. So when you answer that question, think about it. How prepared am I for a financial lockdown? Meaning, just as the folks are experiencing in China right now, just as the folks experience in Lebanon, the banks are closed. Their deposits are frozen. You cannot access anything. How prepared are you if something like that happens. We have talked about many different topics similar to this one of questions that you should be asking yourself right now. You could check it all out at cashflowninja.com and sign up for our newsletter at cashflowninja.com/subscribe. Until next time, live infinite.
If you are interested in learning more about cash flow investing, I have compiled the 21 best cash flow investing strategies I have come across studying millionaires and billionaires for 2 decades and interviewing over 500 successful investors and wealth experts. You can grab the 21 cash flow investing strategy secrets at 21cashflowinvestingsecrets.com. That's 21, the number, cashflowinvestingsecrets.com.